Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. We now return to Cordishi and Coit.
Welcome back to Cordishi and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 FM WEEI. Scott and Nick with you. And yes, we are now into the Patriots talk. We haven't mentioned, by the way, that Mookie Betts and the Red Sox agreed to a one-year deal that'll keep him in Boston for what could be his final season, although I still don't rule it out of the question that he could be traded, right?
Trade's in play.
Yeah.
Trade's still in play. That was just to avoid arbitration and that sort of thing.
Right.
That's expected, too. I think that number was something that, you know, people were predicting around 26, 27,
yep.
You know, which is a record for, you know, a guy avoiding arbitration. So, you know, they were able to do it with Bradley. I'm surprised that they haven't, I don't know, there just hasn't been much movement with the Red Sox. And when I see Bradley signs for 11, I'm sort of like, well, you know, you're talking about cutting payroll and getting down below 208. They're not even close to that.
Yeah.
And then a guy like Bradley's making 11, you know, as much as I am one of those, I value the Jackie Bradley, you know, defense. I know what he is as a hitter, but, you know, I think that can go a long way in helping you. And I know he's bottom of the order, whatever. But I still look at it and say, well, could you deal him for something right now? And if you want to save money, that's $10, $11 million right there that you can get off your, you know, your payroll. I don't know. It just, there hasn't been much movement with the Red Sox. Baseball is sort of slow with that kind of thing. But, you know, we're getting closer and closer to, you know, pitchers and catchers here. And they haven't really done much, so I'm wondering what they're waiting for.
Couple of texts here. Willie McGinnis was the one that said that Giselle does not like Los Angeles.
Okay.
I know you brought that up earlier. And then I want to thank you for your very clear, concise description of the Brady situation all week long. I've gotten a headache listening to stupid takes.
Well, and it's just, that's why I put out there, like, it's more than just, does he want to be here or does Belichick want him to go elsewhere? Like, there's more to it. And I thought, Tom, like I said, Tommy Curran, you know, wrote an article that really, you know, spelled out all the options and explained it and talked about the percentages and whatnot. I just thought that was, when I read that, I said, this is where the business part of it needs to get done. It's
right.
It's less to me about, you know, would Tom Brady prefer to be here? I think so. Does Bill Belichick want him here? I don't know. I don't know what that conversation is going to be like. But it's more than just that. It's the numbers and it's the negotiations that are going to go on, because it is significant to everything else that you're going to have to do this offseason. I was just looking at the list of free agents. Tom Brady, Devin McCourty, Kyle Van Noy, Joe Tooney, Matthew Slater, Philip Dorsett, Nate Ebner, Jamie Collins, Danny Shelton, Nick Folk, Marshall Newhouse, Justin Bethel, Ted Karras, Alandon Roberts, Adam Butler, Keonta Davis. That's a long list.
Yep.
That's a long list of free agents.
Some of those guys you're going to be able to keep on the cheap.
You know,
like a Nate Ebner, right?
Sure.
And, I mean, it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to keep Nate Ebner.
No. But these are all guys that you're going to have to make decisions on. It's not a short list.
Right.
You know, a guy like a Devin McCourty, what's he going to command? I know he's gotten older here. You know, might be less than the contract that he got previously, investing in the future. But he's still been one of the best safeties in the league, especially to start this year. It was really good for them.
Yep.
So, you know, these are guys that they're going to have to try to keep around. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with that.
All right, let's go to the calls. We'll say hello to Dan and Cranston. Good morning, Daniel. Kick it off this morning on Cordishi and Coit on WEEI.
What's going on?
So,
Mark Daniels, to me, when you had him on last week, was most succinct. And he said it paid off at the time. But he says, I think they were going to regret it long term. Right? So,
yep.
Kind of where we're at. You know,
yeah.
It paid off, but, you know, there's a price to be paid now, and they're paying the price. And the price, to forward to where you were talking about the economics of it. So you got to factor in, he has a $13 million cap hit if they don't sign him by March 18th.
That's what we've been talking about.
Yep.
What are the chances of him being signed by March 18th?
I don't know.
Right now, it doesn't look good. But you would think if the Patriots really want to keep him, it would be in their best interest to sign him before then.
Okay, so if they sign him before March 18th, they still have an extra cap hit of 6.5.
6.75.
So on top of what they have Brady asked for.
Correct.
So if he says 25. His cap is 31.5.
Well, it depends too what the guaranteed money is.
Yeah, I care. Either way, his number is going to be exceedingly more than Belichick ever wanted.
I agree.
And that's where the rubber hits the road, no matter what about this. And here's the thing: I think if RKK gets involved again with this one, and they do have to stay with each other by force, I think Belichick is going to make his – I think their relationship is gone, really. I think he's going to make Brady's life friggin' more miserable than it has ever been before. I think he's spiteful about it, and I think it's just done.
Well, the situation's interesting, too, because, I would agree. Like, if Kraft steps in and just says – it's going to be interesting to see when it really comes down to it. You know, March 15th, 16th, 17th, what are these three guys going to do? Who's going to budge? Who's going to cave in terms of, you know, I don't know. Because if Kraft comes in, steps in and says, you know what, no, we're going to keep Tom, you know, then you're right. It undermines Belichick again, you know, because we figured it happened the first time. And, you know, that gives Tom the incentive to, again, be the quarterback here, but then skip on the OTAs and do the things. Because if he's going to stay, I think that's something that Belichick puts on the table, which is, all right, if you're going to stay and we're going to pay you this money, you ain't skipping OTAs and you ain't doing any of that. Otherwise, we're not signing you, you know, because you can't do that.
Here's the other thing, just from a football sense, take out the sentimental stuff. This team is old, you know.
Yep.
It's got, besides the guys you mentioned, okay, guys like Dante Hightower, they have huge cap numbers now.
Yep.
You know, I mean, there's guys on the team that you're not sure you want to keep. Talk about getting rid of a guy a year too early, late. Dante Hightower is one of them too. I know he's 29, but he's an old 29. He'll be 30 next year. It's just, I think Belichick, what he wants to do, and it makes all the sense, is just blow it up everywhere. Everywhere, just start the rebuild. I'm 68 years old. I want to get this ball in motion. You know, create as much cap room as you can. Trade guys, get more draft picks, because they don't have crap right now for draft picks. And, just start the rebuild. You know, get a ton of cap room. Bring in some people. Devin McCourty, you can stay, but you're playing for 6. You're not playing for 10. You know, I just don't see. Doesn't it just make more sense instead of hanging on for another year or two? And, you know, can we honestly say, even if Brady is here next year at a bigger number, they're not the cut and dried Super Bowl contender that they always would have been. They're just not.
No. This is around. This feels like, you know, the team when they were in, I don't know, like 08, 09, those guys, that defense had gotten really, you know, older. Guys were starting to retire, go away, you know, and they were starting to replenish the talent pool. And they started drafting guys like, I don't know, I'm thinking like a Gerard Mayo or guys like that, you know, replenished your defense. And that's what this sort of feels like now, because they've gotten their 3 Super Bowls. They've been at the peak of this, you know, era or this part of the quote-unquote dynasty. I'm with you. I think they need to replenish their young talent pool because there's not a lot of it contributing.
Bottom line, here's the thing. So Tom Brady has 6 Super Bowls, okay? It's not a leap of faith to say if Tom Brady played his whole career for the money, he wouldn't have 6 Super Bowls. Is that true? Is that really say he was always playing for top dollar and sacrificed other positions because of it? He wouldn't have 6 Super Bowls. Is that a leap of faith to say that?
I don't think that's an outrageous claim, no.
So let's say he has 3 or 4. He's not the GOAT. Maybe he's one of the best, but he's not the GOAT. And to say at this point in time now at 43 that I'm playing about the money, it's just, you know what I mean? It's just, this isn't just a good, it's just not a good match anymore, even from a football sense.
Yeah, I
agree. Tennessee is the place to go, Scott. I don't know which one of you guys said it, but if they're going to be dumb enough, outside of Ryan Tannehill leading them to win a Super Bowl this year, to give that fool 4 or 5 years and $80 million is going to be regretful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They could do better.
Yeah. I mean,
2 years, ready to win now. They got everything that they need. He knows the guy. Plenty of expatriates.
An absolute workhorse of a back.
Too much sense. Look at the weapons they have on offense. They have two good tight ends. It just makes, they would be automatic favorite of the Super Bowl tomorrow if he went there, in my mind.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
One of.
It would help.
Yeah, no.
It's a situation where you have the talent where I think it would work. It would definitely work.
And by the way, Dan, you referenced that the Patriots don't have a lot of draft picks. They actually do. They're pretty healthy when it comes to this year's draft. They have a first-round pick, a second-round pick. They have two projected third-round compensatory picks.
Oh, compensatory, okay.
Yep, they have a fourth-round pick. They could have up to four sixth-round picks. They have two in the sixth round already and two projected sixth-round compensatory picks, and they have three more in the seventh. So they could be sitting on 12, 13 picks.
Well, and I think maybe the perception is that the Patriots don't have a lot of picks is because – they dealt one of their seconds that they had for Mohamed Sanu.
Well, they can't make seconds anyways, Nick, so what the hell is the difference?
Yeah, you know,
they already made the second, and it sucks.
Look, I've said this all along, and Dan, thank you for calling. I think Bill Belichick's biggest shortcoming has been his ability to identify elite talent in the draft and bring it into the organization. He's had the rare hits like a Dante Hightower in the first round. He's had some good first-round players. I think Bill Belichick's strength has always been finding those guys low in the draft or the undrafted free agents and coaching them up, right? A Julian Edelman, you know, you can even say Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. But the point is, you know, a lot of teams, the core nucleus of your team is supposed to be first, second, and third-round picks. Patriots early round picks traditionally under Belichick haven't fared well. I mean, percentage wise, I bet you if you stacked it up against the rest of the league, I don't think he's done great there.
It's hits or misses, and you have criticisms at certain positions. We've talked about this with Belichick, and you know certain positions he just can't identify the talent at in the draft anywhere. Wide receiver, like he has had so much trouble over the years.
Defensive back, he's had.
But even then, he's found guys at defensive back that have given him a lot of success, though. But I think what makes him so successful is because every team has hits or misses top end of the draft. That's what you just pointed out, why the Patriots are successful, because he finds the diamonds in the rough and coaches them up. You know, because other teams don't do that like he does.
I also think it's a product of the system that he runs here in New England. And that system is no one is bigger than the team.
No.
And generally, guys that are drafted high in the draft are superstars and studs. So they are stifled a little bit where those other guys who, for many franchises, wouldn't even see the field, they're lifted up, right? Because everybody, all 52 guys in that locker room are equal. You know what I mean? That's the system here in New England.
Yeah, he has hits or misses in the draft. And you mentioned 2012. That was a huge hit because that was the first round where they had two picks and he took Hightower and Chandler Jones.
Right.
That was a huge hit.
So he's Chandler Jones now.
But that was big money. That was big money that you weren't going to pay. So I get that.
I also wonder if that whole him showing up like shirtless at the police station when he was whacked out on something had something to do with his early departure.
Yeah, maybe. That could have played into it. Or made to the shoot. You know, there was that time where we were all talking about, you know, Hightower, Collins, and Jones. Who would you keep? When that happened, that probably settled that argument a little bit. But there's hits or misses. I think I think it's more about positions and certain things he can identify and whatnot. But either way, you got a lot of picks to work with. You got to replenish the talent pool, and I think he did that with this past draft. We'll see how it plays out. There was a lot of young players that he brought in from that draft. I think this year he's got another opportunity, and so you know maybe this is the time where we turn over to the next era of Patriots football, not just at the quarterback position, but at other positions as well.
All right, we're late for our top of the hour break. We'll take it now. Come back with your phone calls. Cordishi and Coit, hour number two next on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.